For a few moments tonight, if you would turn with me to John chapter 20, and our text is verse 30 and verse 31. John chapter 20, verse 30 and verse 31. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. Early in the morning on the day of resurrection, the angel said unto the woman who had come to the sepulchre, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said, Come see the place where the Lord lay. And these words of comfort from the angel spoke to the hearts of those that came. He is risen. And as we think of that, there is no doubt about it. We again on this day remember the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he is alive in the glory. This morning we considered he's on the right hand of the Father, where there he is tonight. And he's looking down upon us here in this place. Dear brethren, your faith is not in vain. There are many who criticize the Christian faith, many who mock the Christian, but your faith is not in vain. He is on the throne and he's looking at you this evening hour. Let me ask, are you all believing in the Lord Jesus Christ? Now we read here in verse 13, and many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. We have this book before us, the Word of God, and we are shown what we are to believe. And particularly we consider here tonight that one is to be found believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. As we saw 2 weeks ago, Jesus made another gracious visit to his disciples, which again proved his resurrection. What words of comfort were given. And as we noted also last time, what words of commendation. Verse 29, our Lord speaking to Thomas, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and have yet believed. He's speaking of others who had not seen him, yet they were believing. And he's looking to the future. When he would be in heaven, there would be others who would not see him, yet would be found believing in him. Dear brethren, as we think of those words there, the Lord was thinking of you. You haven't seen the Lord. He's in heaven, yet you are found believing in him. Is the Lord speaking of you in verse 29? Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. You look up tonight and you consider that he is on the throne, and you look upon him as your Saviour. You're believing in him. Now as we note these words in verse 30 and verse 31, the evangelist, as he draws to a conclusion, under the inspiration of the Spirit, speaks these words. We consider that encounter of our Lord with Thomas and the disciples. Well, then we have this recorded for us. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. Having considered Thomas and that gracious visit last time, I'd like us tonight just to note these words in verse 30 and verse 31. And first of all, to consider the infallible proofs. The infallible proofs. Verse 30. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. We have here the word signs. It speaks of miracles, wonders, or tokens. We can think of the miracles, or certain things that Jesus did that distinguished him, or by which he was made known. Consider he came in the midst of them. We note in verse 19, on the previous occasion, the same day at evening being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst. The doors were shut, but he came in to the midst. There was a wonder, there was a token that distinguished him. We read of the signs then in verse 30. Now some consider here all the things that Jesus did throughout his life. And we could consider those words in Luke chapter 4 when the sun was setting and he healed many. However, a number believe it is rather to be confined to what he did after his resurrection. And that seems to be the case, because we have here certain things that relate to his resurrection, like the appearances of Christ. And then we read in verse 30, and many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples. You recall, he appeared unto his disciples. He spoke in their midst. Now in Acts chapter 10, Peter, in preaching to Cornelius, and those that had gathered with him, said this, Acts 10 verse 14, him God raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us, who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And there Peter is thinking of those times, those appearances, the things which Jesus did when he was in the midst of his disciples. We'll come back to verse 30 here. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples. We can think of the miraculous appearances and the miracles he performed, such as when those disciples caught that large catch of fish in John 21, and then the preservation of the net. Wonders were performed. Were many other things which showed the truth of his resurrection and who he was. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. Many other things did Jesus in the presence of his disciples. And they were infallible proofs of his resurrection. We think of the appearances of Christ here after his resurrection. Well, he did many other things in the presence of his disciples, which showed the truth of his resurrection. In Acts 1, verse 2 and verse 3, we read, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And so here tonight we're thinking of some of those infallible proofs. The word infallible, it will not be proved false or mistaken. No. Infallible proofs of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, some have sought to deny the bodily resurrection of Christ. Some professors have denied it, and even some bishops have questioned in times past. But all we have in the Word of God, infallible proofs. For God's Word is true, and it speaks the truth. In Acts chapter 1, verse 3, we read, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days. What do we read in verse 30? And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. Infallible proofs. He is alive. Dear brethren, our faith is not in vain. There are many things he performed in the presence of his disciples. He showed the truth that he was alive. And he's alive tonight. Consider he came on the first Christian Sabbath day. To begin with, they were fearful, but then they were glad when they knew who it was. Verse 20, and when he had said so, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. There was a proof of his resurrection and they were glad to see him. He came the following week, and he made himself known to doubting Thomas, as we note there in verse 27. There's another proof, and many more. John makes that plain. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples. The infallible proofs. We can look to the Word of God. We see the evidence of the resurrection. How so many have forgotten the resurrection of Jesus Christ this Lord's Day evening. Oh, consider the truth of it tonight. Now we think he gave certain evidences, certain proofs of his resurrection. Well, he still gives evidence of the proof of his resurrection. For he comes into the midst of his brethren still, in a spiritual way. In Matthew 18 verse 20 we read, "For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them." He showed himself to his disciples here upon earth. He makes himself known today in a spiritual way to his people. "For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them." And as we think of that tonight, he is here in a spiritual way. And as we consider those words, and as we consider Christ, we have an infallible proof again tonight that the Lord is alive. And what is it? He is with us here in a spiritual way. He has kept his word. Those are precious words, aren't they? Particularly to small congregations. "For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them." He doesn't despise the small congregation. He remembers them as well as the large congregation. And we have an infallible proof tonight of the resurrection. And that is, he is here tonight in a spiritual way. Our elder brother is here. And he is not ashamed to call us brethren. In Hebrews 2 verse 11 we read, "For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one. For which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. Saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee." He's not ashamed. Others may be ashamed of you, dear brethren, but not the Lord Jesus. He's not ashamed. And he's come in the midst tonight. This is an overlooked subject in these days. The presence of Christ with his people. The Lord is here. Dear child of God, he's not ashamed of you. He's come to you tonight. He's in the midst of the church, as we see there in Hebrews chapter 2. Have you with faith embraced him tonight with joy in your heart? Remember those disciples? They were fearful when the Lord first came. But then he showed to them his hands, his feet and his side. And then they were glad, as we note there in verse 20. They were glad in his presence. Are you glad in the presence of Jesus tonight? Have you embraced him by faith? And is there joy in your soul? We have an infallible proof tonight. The Lord is with us in a spiritual way. Are you rejoicing in him? Are you glad in the presence of Jesus? Yes, here's further evidence of the Lord's resurrection. For he has come in the midst. And he speaks through his word. He applies it through his spirit. He leads the song, as we see in Hebrews 2 and verse 12. He leads the song. Have you been aware of Christ this evening, Anne? Those disciples, they were aware of Christ. They had the evidence that Christ was alive. Are you aware of Christ this evening, Anne? You remember Jacob after he woke up from that dream? Remember he dreamed that dream of the ladder reaching up into heaven. And when he woke up, we're told this, he said this, Genesis 16, rather Genesis 28 verse 16, "Surely the Lord is in this place. And I knew it not." And he was afraid and said, "How dreadful is this place. This is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven." He had laid down that night and he was not aware of what was going to happen. And he wakes up The Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. Is there someone here you were not aware of the presence of the Lord? Well, let me read those words. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. Some may not be aware. How dreadful is this place. This is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. The King is here this night. If the Queen was to pass this way, many would go to meet the Queen, but also few go to meet the King. But the King is here. And their precious words, aren't they? This is the gate of heaven. And how many have been blessed in the gatherings of the saints and have come to faith in Jesus Christ. The gate of heaven, where there were many infallible proofs of his resurrection. Tonight we have another infallible proof. The Lord is here in the midst of us. Secondly tonight, the word of God. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written, that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Many other things our Lord did, which are not written in this book, but these are written. And why, as we shall see in a moment, that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ. The Holy Spirit moved John to write what we have before us in this gospel according to John. But these are written. And look down to what is upon your laps tonight or in your hand. It is the Word of God. We consider here God's Word. Not just what we have in John, but from Genesis to Revelation, including everything there. We have the Word of God. In 2 Timothy 3 verse 16 we read, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. All scripture, all of it, it's all God's Word. We think of the scriptures here tonight. Our Lord said in John 5 verse 39 to those Jews, search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. Search the scriptures. Young people, it's good for you each day to search the scriptures. The Lord invites you to do so. Search the scriptures. Well, think of the scriptures. The Greek word, graphe, that which is written. Graphe. The writings, the holy writings. And here we have God's Word. The scriptures of the Old and New Testament. And we have here the best English translation, the Authorized Version, translated from the Hebrew Masoretic and the Greek received text. And it clearly has the stamp of God upon it. It is the most faithful English translation that we have. It's the Word of God. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. What do you think of this book before you? Do you hold it as the Word of God in your hands? Just like the brethren at Thessalonica. 1 Thessalonians 1 verse 13. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing. Because when ye received the Word of God which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the Word of men, but as is in truth, the Word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. See how they received it? Many say, well, it's just a book written by men. The brethren of Thessalonica received it as the Word of God. What a blessing to receive it like that. As the Word of God. Breathed out by God. The prophecy came not in old time by the will of men, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. They were moved. God, the Holy Spirit, exerted a supernatural power upon certain men, enabling them, governing them to record what was revealed to them from him accurately and without error. Yes, we can consider Paul. We can consider John. But the Holy Spirit so moved them to write accurately and without error, so that which was written is the very word of God. It's the word of God we have before us. Now what do we read in verse 31? But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Now we consider the sufficiency of Scripture. From this book we are taught all things necessary for God's own glory, man's salvation, faith and life. The sufficiency for Scripture. And we see that in our text tonight. But these are written that ye might believe. We don't need to look anywhere else. We see the sufficiency of Scripture here. And we're thankful for it. That God through his word has shown us the way to life. What did Paul say to young Timothy? And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation, through faith which is in Christ Jesus. He was given the scriptures. He was faithfully taught them from a child. And are we not thankful for those of us who were given Bibles when we were children? Blessed by receiving a Bible. And we pray that many children will be given Bibles in schools today and in other places, that they may be made wise unto salvation. Blessed is the child that receives a Bible. We see the sufficiency of Scripture. But these are written that ye might believe. How important is the distribution of the word of God. We pray for it more and more. On Friday evening I was encouraged to hear that many prisons in the north of this area again want Bibles. And not only the English translation, but the word of God translated into other tongues. And so the auxiliary is sending forth Bibles, not only in English, but in other tongues as well. And we're thankful for it. Oh, for a greater hunger. Oh, that many would be pointed to the Lord as they read the Bible. Are we not thankful for the word of God? In this book, one is pointed to the wonderful Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. We are told about the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. In this wonderful book, remember what Jesus said here in this book. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We're shown the way, aren't we? And you see there the invitation, whosoever believeth, whoever. It's the free offer of the gospel from the lips of Christ. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting. We're shown the way. We're shown the glorious gospel. And are we not blessed through having this book? That we've been shown this glorious gospel. That we've been presented with the wonderful Redeemer, whose name is Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God. Dear brethren, how the Lord has used his word effectually in our hearts. We read of it in 1 Thessalonians 2 verse 13, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. He's used his word and he uses it still. Romans 10 verse 17, so then faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. The Lord uses his word. And you, dear brethren, are trophies of grace. You are evidences that the Lord has used his word. He's spoken to you. It's the word of God. He's spoken to you through the word. And you came to faith. And he continues to speak to you through the word of God. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ. You see the sufficiency of Scripture. The Lord uses his word. Be thankful for the word of God. Sadly, many have defaced this blessed book, even in this country. Many have burnt it in this country in days gone by. How blessed we are to have a copy of the word of God. Prize it, dear brethren. In Psalm 19, verse 10, more to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. See how the psalmist, he prized the word of God. He saw it as a thing most valuable. A man may have thousands of pounds, yet be poor because he hasn't got a Bible. Psalm 119, verse 72, the law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. And the psalmist truly meant it. He loved this book. He so valued it, dear brethren. Value the word of God. And the way we give evidence that we value the word of God is we keep going to it. We prayerfully go to it. Read it, prize it, read it, unconverted friend, oh, that you would read again this book, and that the Spirit would use it in your heart, and faith would be implanted. Remember what Christ said, search the Scriptures. And he said it to those unbelieving Jews, search the Scriptures. Jesus says it tonight to anyone without Christ, search the Scriptures. Read it, dear brethren, that it might touch your heart. Thomas Watson, the Puritan, wrote, read the Scripture as a love letter sent you from God, which may affect your heart. Read it, that it might touch your heart. Thirdly, as we draw to a close tonight, the believing in Jesus. The believing in Jesus. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ. When we think of the work of the Trinitarian Bible Society, what is the great concern in the distribution of the Bible? It is that God would be glorified and men and women would be saved. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ. Let me ask you tonight, many of you are, but let me ask you, are you all believing in Jesus Christ? What do we read here? But these are written that ye might believe. You see, someone may have the Bible and read it, but they're not believing. Consider here a great scope of the Scripture. That one might believe that Jesus is the Christ. We are presented here with faith in Jesus Christ. In the Catechism for Young People, we read this. Faith in Jesus Christ is a saving grace, whereby we receive and rest upon him alone for salvation, as he is offered to us in the gospel. We're thinking of saving faith. Now there is that which is called historic faith. Before we just look at saving faith, let's just consider historic faith. A bare assent to the truth. A faith that does not affect the soul. An historic faith. One can believe certain things, but it doesn't affect them within. They're not found believing in Jesus. They believe that certain things took place. One may believe in creation. One may believe that Jesus lived here on earth, that he died on the cross, he rose again, but it doesn't affect the soul. It's an historic faith. But what we're looking at here is saving faith. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. Saving faith. Let's just think of this for a moment as we draw to a close. Where there is true faith, there is salvation. Redemption is begun. There's been deliverance from death. There is life. And there will come deliverance at death. To come. We thought of deliverance from spiritual death. Think of deliverance of physical death. And then on that great day, one of old Ebenezer Erskine wrote, where ere there is true faith, salvation is already begun. Remember those words in Mark 16, verse 16. He that believeth shall be saved. We're thinking of saving faith. The apostle writes in Hebrews 10, verse 39. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. They're precious words, aren't they? To the saving of the soul. Many have a historic faith. They just believe in certain things that took place. But it doesn't affect the soul. We're thinking of saving faith. But we are of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Well, it's faith in Jesus Christ and in him alone. The Bible makes that plain. The Lord Jesus Christ made plain there's only one way. Remember those words? I am the way, the truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There's just one way. And Jesus makes it plain. There's one way, for there's only one Saviour. For these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ. He's the only Christ, the only one anointed, the true Christ to save. And we think here of believing in him. What a lovely subject, to believe in Jesus. We think of the gift of faith. And it's a precious gift. It's not in the heart by nature. It's given. Earlier today I asked my children about what they think a gift is. One said it's a hug. Others said family and friends. Chocolates. You may think of money, clothes, gifts given to you. But all think of the gift of faith. What a gift it is. Dear brethren, you have this gift. Treasure this gift. For you're saved. And you know the blessing of looking unto Jesus. Oh, what a gift it is. It is not merited nor deserved. It's a gift. It wouldn't be a gift if one paid for it. No, it's a gift. It's not found within the heart by nature. It doesn't appear in the heart by nature. It's put within. It's given. The heart is stone by nature. The heart is spiritually dead. Ebenezer Erskine wrote, such a flower never sprung out of the soil of a depraved nature. No, it's put within. This gift is given. It's implanted within. Have you this precious gift? You may have been given many gifts in your life. Has the Lord given you faith? Has the Holy Spirit put it within your heart? He puts it within in effectual calling. It's implanted within. Are you believing tonight? Has the Holy Spirit put this faith in your heart? Well, through faith, Christ and his righteousness is received. You think of Christ in 2 Corinthians 9, verse 15. He's the unspeakable gift. Well, through the gift of faith, one receives the unspeakable gift. Christ, the unspeakable gift, is presented to sinners, and through faith, he is received. What a gift is faith. And that through faith we receive the unspeakable gift. It's a lovely word, unspeakable, isn't it? You know, there are times when you just do not know what to say. Maybe your husband's brought you something. You just do not know what to say. Or someone else. And you just do not know what to say. You're lost for words. Think of the unspeakable gift. What can we say? He's so lovely. The Lord Jesus Christ, he's so precious. Unto you who believe, he's precious. He's the unspeakable gift. I'm so blessed to receive him. Have you received him? John 1 verse 11. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Even to them that believe on his name. Many rejected him. So many do today. But there were those that received him. Are you numbered amongst those that have received the unspeakable gift? Remember those words, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He's the unspeakable gift. Have you received him? Through faith we receive. One is found believing in Jesus. One is found looking unto him. Do you know the joy of looking unto Jesus? There are times when you may be troubled, like those disciples. But they were glad when they saw the Lord. Do you know that joy in looking unto Jesus? If you're without Christ, look to the Word, and then look to the Lord. Oh, what a blessing it is when one first believes. When their eyes are opened. You think of a little baby. They're born. And they open their eyes. What a blessing when one beholds Christ with the eye of faith. They have a life and they behold Christ. What a blessing. Jesus is known. Jesus is heard. The gospel is precious. One is saved. Believing in Jesus. Well, as we close now, fourthly and finally, the life given. What do we read here? But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. There's life for those who look unto Jesus. Remember in the Old Testament? The children of Israel were being bitten. Moses was to set up a brazen serpent on the pole and they were to look and live. Oh, for those who look unto Jesus, they will live. Look unto me and be saved. Look. This life. What a blessing to have life. Our Lord said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me, have everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. No longer is one spiritually dead and under condemnation. By nature, men are under condemnation. And the one who dies not believing will go to hell, as Jesus made plain. And I lovingly speak of that place. What a solemn thought. What a solemn subject. And a dreadful place. I lovingly speak of it. Not because it's a nice place, but out of compassion for sinners. What a blessing to have life. The one who believes is passed from death unto life. They're passed. They've life now. The spiritual life. Let's just think of this. There's the eye of faith. There's a heart now in which one knows the Lord and loves him. Before there was hatred with him, but now there's love. There's the hearing ear. Once heard the voice of Jesus. And they listen out for him. There's a loose tongue. And one sings praise to the Lord. The soul, as it were, now is able to walk. Think of that. The soul walking. My soul followeth hard after thee, we read of in Psalm 63. There's life now. My chains fell off. My heart was free. I rose, went forth, and followed thee. There's life now. No longer bondage, but life. And there's eternal life. A death one will go to heaven. And after that great day, they will be forever with the Lord. Forever and ever. A number of years ago, a Scottish minister came down here and he read a book to one of my children. He didn't know what was in the book, but he began to read it. But the book ended like this, forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Dear brethren, forever you will be with the Lord. What a blessing to have the gift of faith. You have believed to the saving of your soul and eternal life is before you. And you will always be in acquaintance with Christ. Let me ask you, dear congregation. Are you looking forward to an eternity with the unspeakable gift, the Lord Jesus Christ? I have lovingly spoke to you tonight of that place called hell. Oh, there's a way to flee that place. And that is through Jesus Christ. And here we're given the warrant of faith, the gospel. Are you believing? If you are, what a wonderful prospect you have. Forever with the Lord. He's alive. He'll give you life. And you'll live forever with Jesus. Let me ask you, do you know in your heart you're going to live forever with Jesus? Amen.